At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to rise and grind on a beautiful Friday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159, the Sports Grid Network. This is the Early Line, and over the next 3 hours, we got you covered on all the hottest topics across the sports landscape. You want NBA action? We got it. You want Major League Baseball? We got it. You want reactions from draft night one in the NFL? Absolutely. You want to see what's going to go down this weekend, which includes the draft, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, and also having a little NHL talk in these 3 hours as well. Everything is covered. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Joe Ranieri, and we are ready to roll, Joe. How do we feel this morning? Refreshed? Ready? I know you are. I know you are.
Listen, yeah. Donnie, I was so happy last night as a Jet fan that I am not moaning and groaning and screaming at the television. They actually did exactly what they were supposed to do. So I think there's hope for the Jets after all here.
I've been screaming this entire offseason that I loved every single move that the Jets are doing. Cut the cancer out of the organization, get a fresh start, build that foundation, and that includes building up the trenches on the offensive line, which they did last night. We'll get to that and much, much more. But it was draft night central right here on the Sports Grid Network. If you're watching and following along, a lot of excitement early, which includes the 7-7 top topic, the number one overall pick in the draft. It wasn't a secret for the past couple weeks. It was Cam Ward out of the University of Miami going number one to the Tennessee Titans.
And I already threw an interception as a celebration last night. Oh, no. Is that too soon? Is it too soon, Tennessee? I'm sorry. Listen, you know, the best of the rest, really. It wasn't a great quarterback draft, but he was by far the best that that was available. And when you need a quarterback and you got the number one pick, Donnie, you know how this works in a league. You got to take it. So hopefully Callahan and company there can figure out how to maybe cut back on the turnovers. And I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think he will be too. And just watching him from Miami last year, the only shame of it was is I guess he enjoyed Miami had a bad defense for his statistical purposes. But for the Miami Hurricanes, have a quarterback that went number one overall and played so well to not make it to the college football playoff playing in the ACC because your defense was bad. Shout out Cam Ward, number one overall pick. We'll see what he does there for Tennessee. But they feel, Joe, they got their franchise guy. How about this? A franchise altering move maybe in a trade last night. Number two overall, of course, it was going to be the Cleveland Browns taking Travis Hunter until we got on the clock and the fireworks started early, where the Jacksonville Jaguars traded up to get Travis Hunter and take him number two overall.
Yeah, so those who had Hunter going number two in the betting markets there, Donnie, were celebrating last night. Those that had him going to Cleveland, not so much as they moved back down. But Listen, the best player on the board, right? Kudos, another organization that has been a dumpster fire over the last couple of years, not having any clue as to what they're doing. They gave up a lot, but you got the right guy at the right time for that organization. The question is, what does he play when he gets to Jacksonville?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to try to play both sides, and rightfully so. There's no way, and I love the kid. He's a great talent and a great, you know, personality. But he is going to be sprinkled in on one side of the football. And the question that you bring up, Joe, is valid. Which side of that football gets the sprinkle? Yeah. Which gets the full-time talent for Travis Hunter? But certainly, we wanted to see fireworks, and we got those early. Staying calm and taking the best player at their position, that was Abdul Carter. Probably the best overall player to me, and maybe a game impact guy right away. The New York Giants get him third, but also trade back into the first round and hopefully have gotten their franchise quarterback, Joe.
Oof on that moving back up to the go there. But listen, you're right, though. Generational talent, a guy that is going to be, for the next decade, the anchor of that defensive line. Love it, right? Everything about him, if he stays healthy, all indications are he's good to go. But the reaching is they could have got Jackson Dart in the second round. I'm not quite sure why they moved up there to get him in this one, because everyone after them wasn't like they needed a ton of quarterback. Nobody at the bottom of that draft last night was going to go quarterback shopping there from 26 beyond. So I didn't understand the move by the Giants.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see it play out. Nobody understands what the Giants did in the offseason either. If you're going to get your franchise quarterback, then you load up your quarterback room with veteran guys who are expecting to play, and you probably promise that they will play. Therefore, your young quarterback who you think is your future, the future isn't this year. You win 6 to 7 games. Then your future starts the next year, and you should have had a higher draft pick. We'll get into much, much more with the New York Giants, which includes partly Shedeur Sanders not going in the first round. Many thought the possibilities of him going to the Giants were there. He didn't go to anybody, Joe, in the first round.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I was so devastated that a kid who accomplished nothing got his number retired at Colorado and drove a Bentley to campus every day. I'm heartbroken for the kid. I really am, Donnie. Can you tell? I really am heartbroken. But don't worry, he'll have more than enough time to fizzle out here in the second round.
Ah, look at that. Does he have to return the Bentley because a second round salary is not going to be as good as a first round salary? You've spent some of that money. I'm sure Shedeur will be just fine at that point, but that's a good talk. And by the way, we have a couple hours to go over each and every one of these moves. Just setting the table is so much fun to talk about with these hot topics in the NFL. We'll get back to it. Let's slide over to the NBA because the playoffs are going on. A triple header yesterday, which included now a 3-0 series lead. No surprise for the Oklahoma City Thunder. A 114-108 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. But the Memphis Grizzlies did cover the spread, which is the most important thing. Commanding lead now for the Thunder, Joe.
Oh, no, there was nothing easy about that for OKC. They were getting boat raced. They were down by 29 points at time. And then all of a sudden, Ja Morant got hurt. And in the second half, what? Different game it was there. But you want to talk about not laying it, but actually getting OKC at plus money live in game? Oh, boy, there are guys celebrating tonight.
I mean, Mike, isn't that the perfect ebb and flow of the NBA that you take in the regular season? Wait, one team's getting blown out. You know they're going to make a comeback and possibly take the lead. That's crazy in a playoff game to lose the first quarter by 11, the second quarter by 15, and still win that game outright by 6 points, not at the buzzer. So interesting times there, but OKC probably going to move on sooner than later. Another game we take a look at, a close one right down to the wire. The New York Knicks pull out a 118-116 victory over the Detroit Pistons. I had the Pistons. I had the 1.5. I saw the late three-pointer. Walk off the court, boys. No reason for a foul. They foul. One free throw made. One missed. Game over. Knicks win. They take the 2-1 series lead.
I love the fact that these two teams hate each other. I mean, it really does warm my heart, Donnie, that we're getting some rivalries created here in the NBA, finally, where not everyone is kumbaya and high-fiving one another. So I love it. And I think this is going to be a series where we can probably make a lot of money continuing to zigzag it as well.
By the way, love the zigzag theory in the NBA. We'll see if it stands up. And also, a team that didn't zigzag and winning game number 2 and also game number 3 now, those Los Angeles Clippers. How about a 117-83 spanking, Joe, of the Denver Nuggets on the road? Is this the Clippers team we've been waiting for the past few years?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the Kawhi Leonard that we have seen as a sniper of years past that that has given him a couple of rings. Kawhi Leonard looks like vintage Kawhi Leonard and everybody else falling into place. Clippers are a dangerous team here. And Denver, Joker or not, they don't have the depth to compete with a healthy Kawhi Leonard right now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what we get out of game number 4 for the Denver Nuggets, because my appearance was last night. I thought that we would get a victory last night from the Clippers in that point, but I might want to buy back in on the Denver Nuggets, knowing they can't go down 3-1 at that point. That should be interesting to play it out. But also, some other things going down, which included the NHL last night. Florida, Toronto, and Minnesota all picking up victories yesterday in their games, Joe.
Yeah, and poor Panthers. I mean, you would have thought before the series started, there was no point in them even playing. Just Tampa was going to rout them, and bye-bye, Florida. Ooh, not quite. Not just yet.
Series leads. By the way, the Eastern Conference, are we going to get all 4-0 sweeps there? What's going on in the East? At least the West has given us some opportunities to have some fun. You want opportunities to talk draft? You got it coming up right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Armchair quarterback on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. What month is this show? Is this October, November, December? No, it's in the month of April, and we are enjoying ourselves because the NFL draft completed round number 1. Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri breaking it all down, which includes, once again, Cam Ward, number 1 overall to the Tennessee Titans. I don't think it was too much of a surprise, but over the past couple months, Joe, we saw a lot of movement. It was neck and neck for the number 1 pick, at least the odds market at FanDuel. Would it be Cam Ward? Would it be Shedeur Sanders? We'll get to Shedeur Sanders in just a few moments, but in your eyes, why was the race so close at the end of the season for college football, and why was the race over 2 to 3 weeks into it, where it was apparent Cam Ward was going to be that number 1 overall pick?
It's amazing when the ebbs and flows of the hype this year, was it not? I mean, we were talking at certain points over the last year on how Colorado had two of the top 3 picks in the draft, that it was forget about it. They were going to be, these two guys were going to be buddies. They were going to be in the top 5 of the draft. And then all of a sudden we stopped hearing about Shedeur, and then Cam Ward throwing for 500 yards a game. And listen, Tennessee, we all knew Tennessee needs a quarterback, and Cam Ward is the best. He's got the best arm strength. He's got the best playmaking ability. But the problem with him is he tries to do too much, but that can be coached. And so Cam Ward to me was the only option for Tennessee. We were going to trade out. If you need a quarterback and you have the number 1 pick in the draft, you go get the best quarterback in that draft. That's exactly what Tennessee did.
Exactly. And you're right about this, because unless you have your franchise guy, you know, you could pick another great football player, but you know you're not going to win many football games. We'll get to some other teams that were looking for their franchise guy. But if you were sold on this, no amount of picks or no amount of players that you would trade up and get that for and say, you know what, let me opt out of Cam Ward, even though we like him, because I can stack up an extra 1 next year and get a quarterback. You're number 1 for a reason, Joe. That means you're a bad franchise and you don't have a quarterback. Now it looks like Tennessee's like, got my new coach. He's got his quarterback. Let's see if we can win some football games. Completely agree with the move. And also, even when the regular season ended in college football, I always thought Cam Ward was a better quarterback than Shedeur Sanders. Value in the eye of the beholder. He goes number 1 overall. Now, the next question comes up is, we always understand, Joe, with the draft itself, quarterbacks will get overdrafted. If you look at the big boards for teams, not position by position, Cam Ward certainly wasn't a top 5 player on the draft board, but he's a quarterback. They get graded differently. Were you surprised last night that we didn't get more than 2 quarterbacks drafted in the first round?
No, I had actually bet under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round, because it's one thing if you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, especially up in the board, let's say before, you know, in the top 12 picks, there is an expectation that that quarterback has to play. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one quarterback here that is going to be able to go in and start right away and be worthy of that kind of draft, that draft stock. And that was Cam Ward. Jackson Dart, bottom of round 1, you can sit him behind you know, some experience there and let him get that. But who else was there? The big question was Shador. And I think leading into the draft last night, we all heard, Donnie, nobody thought he was worthy of a first round pick except Shador Sanders in his camp.
Which is really interesting because, again, like you're talking about, like we saw it in the draft, what, 20 years ago or so with Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers. Like, okay, number one pick neck and neck. One goes number one and you saw the fall. But Aaron Rodgers didn't make it out of the first round. He even got picked by a team that already had a Hall of Fame quarterback on the roster. Like, whoa, the talent's too much here and the slipping is too much. We'll take him here. What do you feel, though, Joe, overall, as I set the question up for you, is like Shador Sanders' fall, was it more play on the field? Is it too much hype coming into the building? And I love the conspiracy theories out there, which we talk about so many times, is if you get Shador Sanders as your quarterback and it doesn't work out in your first year, the general manager and the coach are going to get fired because Deion's going to convince that organization he needs to be there with his kid and take control. Like, why the fall out of the first round for a quarterback of all players?
Because the intangibles, forget about all the hype and everything else along those lines. Yeah. The intangibles that we all know make a great quarterback, or at least a franchise quarterback, which is what you need to be in the first round, right? If a team is going to draft you with their first pick, then you've got to have some of those intangibles. He's not overly big. He doesn't have great arm strength. It doesn't, you know, sometimes his decision-making not great. He's very accurate, but all of those intangibles, the way that the NFL rates quarterbacks, isn't a first-round quarterback. And we've seen guys have less, right, intangibles get drafted in the first round. Danny Dimes. And how did that work out? So I just think in this draft, teams were like, yes, we need a quarterback. But the kinds of quarterbacks that are available are ones that are projects that we can afford to take in the second or third round outside of Cam Ward. That's it.
Yeah, it's a great talking point from last night because, again, not watching the back half of the draft, you're waking up, catching up on some of those picks. The first guy I looked for there was, I wonder where Shador Sanders went. And then you see Jackson Dart go to the New York Giants, which means that they didn't pick Shador. And maybe somebody was going to trade up in that 30, 31, 32 range to still get that quarterback in the first round. So good for you, Joe, opting out where most times quarterbacks, again, get overdrafted. I don't feel that they might have been overdrafted because we only got two quarterbacks in round number one. But the biggest storyline that we'll set up and certainly talk about into the next segment was, how about the Jacksonville Jaguars making the move from 5 all the way up to 2 to take Travis Hunter? So we'll start here with this. Were you surprised that the Cleveland Browns traded out of 2 with Travis Hunter and that the Jaguars were able to get up to 2 and take Travis Hunter?
I think it's smart, right? Because Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken, right, we've got new coach. We have, I believe, the youngest GM in the National Football League here. They're trying to put their stamp on this organization. And what better way than moving up and getting, A, if you want to go the receiver route, which is where I think he's going to land, well, then you got to surround your quarterback with weapons. And there may be no better weapon than what they just drafted to go up and get here, because he wouldn't have been on the board at 5. We all know that. So for them to go up and give what they did, I think they have a player they know they can utilize right away and justify the price for moving up 3 spots to get him here. So he's going to be in Jacksonville a long time.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those trades that you look at, and we won't be able to grade it for years in advance, but this is why we talk about it the day after. It feels like, to me, like Cleveland actually made the right move, and so did the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got that player the players can believe in the locker room, the fans can absolutely love, and then you got extra draft capital for the Cleveland Browns. Love what I see. It's the early line, and we are just getting started.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, the Lightning started early in that draft, as we just talked about, with Travis Hunter, number 2 overall, not to the Cleveland Browns, to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, what happened there is, you go back to 5 for Cleveland. You pick up an extra first-round pick. You get Mason Graham, a defensive tackle. Understanding the premise for Cleveland was, we're not sold on a quarterback after Cam Ward, which is probably there. We're not going to overdraft, but next year might be a better quarterback class coming in. Case in point, Arch Manning could be a franchise guy that they want to look at. They're at the end of the string now with Deshaun Watson here, Joe. So you're saying, you know what? Next year, if we want that extra draft capital, we have it now, got a great football player. And as we picked up after the break here, it's one of those deals where I think Travis Hunter fits perfectly in Jacksonville. You have an identity player, can go both ways. He could be a lockdown corner, a serviceable wide receiver, if not a Pro Bowl wide receiver, if that's where he spends the majority of his time to help out Trevor Lawrence. And then the Cleveland Browns on the opposite side get a really good defensive tackle to go with that strong defensive line and say, quarterback's not there this year. We're not going to force it. Let's get the extra ammo down the line. So next year, we have multiple first rounders if we want to then trade up to get our said quarterback. I like both sides, Joe. I really do.
Very rarely will we sit here after round one of the NFL draft and look at a trade and be like, you know what? Smart for both teams here. We know how strapped Cleveland is for draft capital because they gave it all away with the move to sign Deshaun Watson there. That didn't work out well. So what's the best way in order to bid? Because you need picks, right? You need talent. You need picks. Best way to do it is move down, what, three spots and gain all the extra picks they did, only to get the guy that Cleveland wanted anyway that had on the board, which helps them. So to me, it was an absolute win-win for Jacksonville and Cleveland, and that doesn't happen very often.
No, it certainly doesn't. I'll tell you what doesn't happen very often either, Joe, a top 10 running back here in this day and age. Ugh. But the resurgence of the running back position based off of last year, free agents were hitting home runs. Rookies were doing extremely well. So the Raiders figured we want to jump into that mix. Ashton Jeanty goes number 6 overall to the Las Vegas Raiders as they get their running back. Now, I have two ways, Joe, that I look at this, because I always have a philosophy. If I'm a first round, you know, team drafting, I want to take the best player on the board regardless of position outside of quarterback. Like if you have Patrick Mahomes and somehow you're number 6 pick, you're not going to draft a quarterback knowing that that's not going to help you for the next 10 years because Mahomes is going to be there. But Ashton Jeanty was the best, most talented player at 6. The Raiders got him. But typically that running back is the cherry on top for a team that has his future young franchise quarterback, wide receivers that are ready to learn, and away you go is that final piece of the puzzle, which I was looking at the Chicago Bears, and you know what? They think they have their franchise quarterback. They got wide receivers. They got talent, and now's the time to win over the next 2 to 3 years. Do you like the pick for the Raiders getting Ashton Jeanty, and how'd you feel when you saw they selected him?
It's funny. Love Ashton Jeanty. I mean, the kid is a phenomenal person, first and foremost there. And his story is captivating. And he's got a ton of talent. He's 5'11", 212. Anytime you put the words Barry Sanders in the same conversation, even though Barry, you know, got his yardage 3 games fewer than he did, but that's a different story. The bottom line is there's talent there. And timing to me is everything, because if this was 5 years ago, we wouldn't even be having this guy. He'd still be on the board and we'd be looking at a second or third round pick. Why? Well, Bijan Robinson happened. Jahmyr Gibbs happened here. And of course, we just watched a pretty good running back out of Penn State win a Super Bowl there with the Philadelphia Eagles, who was the difference maker. So you put all that together, and now all of a sudden the running back spot is being valued more as of late. Bijan's a beast, Jahmyr Gibbs. I worry that a running back out of the Mountain West, 5'11", 212, a 6 pick, you're going to run this kid 3 downs every drive like he's going to be a 3 down back? I mean, how long does he last? Does he even make it to that next contract in the 5th year if you're going to burn the kid like this? That's the only thing I worry about for him.
It's such a good topic, Joe, you bring up, because when we talk about like great running backs in the ascension here, like again, New York Giants drafted Saquon Barkley, which was a good pick at the time, but the Giants weren't ready to win. He goes to Philadelphia and they're in the midst of a Super Bowl run. So what do they do, Joe? Hand him the football every time they can get him. He stays healthy and they won a Super Bowl. So your point is correct. You're saying, well, Ashton Jeanty getting the ball 275 touches next year for a 7 or 8 win football team, and then doing it again the next year for a 7 or 8 win football team. And then you might go to the draft or get a young quarterback, and now he's in year number 3, a lot of touches, and you need 2 more years to groom that quarterback. Now it's year 5 and 6 and has 1,000 total rushes under his belt. Maybe not the greatest use of resources, but a fun player nonetheless. We're going to talk more draft right here on the Sports Grid Network with the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tight ends galore last night. A lot of good tight ends in this draft. We may have had a surprise early in the draft in round number one. Now, the Chicago Bears sitting there at the 10 spot saying, you know what? We'll take the best player available on the board, and we'd love to have a tight end to go with Cole Kmet and our young franchise quarterback. We have a solid running game here, the wide receivers. Maybe this is the missing piece to the puzzle where this offense can absolutely groove. Colston Loveland was on the board, and so was Tyler Warren. So most people in draft nicks here were saying to themselves, you know what? I do think the better tight end for myself, and I'm me included, was Tyler Warren. Loveland goes number 10 overall to the Bears. And it's also one of those picks, Joe, that we talk about. I don't hate the pick for the Bears. I would have drafted differently, but Loveland is a really good tight end. Your thoughts when the Bears went tight end and didn't go with Warren, what was that?
Well, what that is Ben Johnson, the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, coming out of, a guy like Sam LaPorta, who I am sure Loveland reminding him a lot of. And Johnson loved LaPorta in Detroit. And, you know, a lot of the plays and a lot of the schemes that he was putting together for the Lions involved a big tight end who can catch and run. And I think Loveland is exactly that for the Bears, and it's going to give Caleb Williams a legit receiving threat in just about all areas of the field, which is exactly what his job was when he was hired, is to make sure that you surround this kid with weapons and give him an opportunity to be able to succeed. And a great tight end will go a long way for a young quarterback, and I think they got the right one.
No, certainly, look, he's a really good player. And it's again, it's another one of the things where I would have drafted differently, but I'm not looking at the Bears as like losers of the draft because they didn't get Warren. Loveland was really good for Michigan and basically really good in an offense that didn't have a great trigger man there that was like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to light up the field. Like Cam Ward is getting me the football every single play. We'll see how it translates, but Caleb Williams got to be certainly a happy guy today getting another tight end weapon here that he can use. Cole Kmet and also now taking a look at, you know, your new tight end coming in with Loveland. I like the move overall at this point. You know what else what I liked? Because we talk about like the splash picks and the splash plays. The Atlanta Falcons always had an issue last year with rushing the quarterback. And sometimes you can overreach and say, we got to fix it in this draft no matter what happens. Even if the player we feel isn't that good, we just need an outside pass rusher or a defensive end to get the job done. I love what Atlanta did. They got two premier pass rushers in this draft in round number one. Now, they did give up a little bit of future draft capital, but if you're Raheem Morris and say, I got to fix this defense first, I think I have enough weapons on offense to get busy and my franchise quarterback, I like what the Falcons did. Doubled up in the first round on edge rushers.
Well, and Jalen Walker at 15 might have been, usually you don't talk about value at 15 here, but this kid, Jalen Walker, the comparison is Micah Parsons, and kind of very similar to the role Micah Parsons does. He can rush from the outside. He can play linebacker, a ridiculous athlete. He was the Butkus Award winner, right, as the nation's best linebacker. Mm-hmm. But he's also in the NFL with the speed that he has. You know, they can stick him out on the end. He is exactly the kind of player that Atlanta needs on the defense to build around. The kid is going to be an absolute beast. I'd love the pick. And the fact that he was available at 15, kudos to the Atlanta Falcons for making the move and grabbing him.
Solid move there. If you need to improve their defense, they certainly did that. And how do you do it best here? Yes, you could take a safety. You could take a cornerback. Getting to the quarterback is king, and they got two guys that certainly they expect to do that. We look at the Green Bay Packers, by the way, too, because they were hosting the draft yesterday. Hundreds of thousands of fans in the building. And the one thing we always scream about is, boy, can they just get their franchise wide receiver to go with their franchise quarterback? A lot of guys in the mix last year on that offense, whether it's Watson, Dobbs, or Reed, but it's like, I need a standout. They get Golden here, figuring for the first time in a long time going wide out round number one, they got their guy.
Yeah, and the first time since 2002 that the Packers have actually used a first round pick on a wide receiver. But again, your quarterback is in place, right? Jordan Love is the future. He's your franchise quarterback. And we saw what happened when Christian Watson went down, right? With the ACL tear, they had nobody to stretch the field. They needed wide receiver help here. They already have the tight end in Tyler Kraft, right, and Luke Musgrave. Yep. So they've got those things squared away, and now they've got a kid that out of Texas that, well, a lot of people thought he was, outside of Hunter, should have been the first wide receiver off the board. But you, I mean, the kid has got nothing but speed, 4.2940, I believe, at the combine. Mm-hmm. He's going to stretch the field for Jordan Love and for the Green Bay Packers. I loved the fact that they went wide receiver here and bucked the trend.
There you go. Pun intended. They absolutely loved it as well. By the way, for a draft that we thought was really top heavy, right? 1, 2, and 3, great. And said, you know, where would these players fit in? And again, you have the same feeling every draft, but it just feels like, you know, teams were making the right decisions all the way up and down the draft. Where you really didn't get that what the heck kind of pick was that. Like, if I pick winners and losers, I pick the Raiders were a loser for picking a superstar running back just because I don't think it fits, but he's still a great football player to that football team. There was no like, oh, Al Davis is picking. This guy could have went in the 5th round, but he's a super fast wide receiver that can't catch. We draft him 5 overall. We didn't get that, which is great because teams look like they were making selective positions here for the teams for the players they needed. And it's worked out here at this point. Other notable draft picks here. You know, you got Tet McMillan, top 10 to the Panthers, was a little bit of a surprise to go, but isn't this what you're supposed to do? Your young quarterback that looks like he finally took another step. Get him another weapon. I love that move for the Panthers there. And then we take a look at Tyler Warren, who falls to the Colts, who desperately wanted a tight end and got, for me, the best tight end in the draft. The Bucs go with another wide receiver to help out Baker Mayfield. That looks like a fun football team. And then Hampton goes to the Chargers. You know Harbaugh wants to run the football. Thunder and lightning now. I like so many draft picks, Joe, that I saw in that first round.
Yeah, and listen, when you're a team like the Jets or Carolina and you need everything, you know what I mean? If you really can't go wrong if you surround your young quarterback with some weapons here. They need so much help on the defensive side of the ball, Carolina. They could have went defense with the number 8 pick, like a Walker or somebody along those lines. But you know what? Getting a kid that can stretch the field and that can grow with your, Bryce Young, you can't go wrong. Kudos to Carolina getting it done. And same thing with Indy. When's the last time Indy actually had a legit tight end that they could count on? So love the moves. You're right, Donnie. Outside of the Giants, what was the head-scratching move? And even that wasn't that head-scratching.
Correct. Yes. No, again, it's very rare that you go through where the teams look like they were actually prepared and ready to go and everybody was happy and nobody was blowing gaskets. Like, I can't believe my team just drafted this guy. Everything looked comfortable last night, which then brings us up here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's never too early to look at the odds for next season's NFL Offensive and Defensive Rookies of the Year. If we start on offense, it's no surprise. 1 overall, barring injury, Cam Ward's going to play 17 games. He's going to be throwing the football. They're not a great football team, which means extra yardage possible in the second halves or latter parts of the fourth quarter. He's +330. Right behind him, Ashton Jeanty, plug-and-play running back there for the Vegas Raiders. He's going to get a lot of looks there. Travis Hunter, Tet McMillan, Hampton, Henderson, who hasn't been drafted yet at 18-1, looking to go early in the second round. How do you feel so far about the emerging market here for offensive rookie of the year?
Well, I it's all a matter of touches, right? And impact. Yep. And who is going to, you know, obviously Cam Ward is the easy one, but how good is Tennessee going to be? Now, the good news is they play in a weaker division, so they might have an opportunity to shine here a little bit. But Jeanty, we talked about, is going to get the touches. Certainly Hunter is going to get enough publicity. And certainly if they opt offense first and work him into the defensive side, well, then that's he's got to be in that conversation too. So a lot still to be determined in these markets, though.
No, certainly as well. And you take a look at the rookie defensive market, a little bit harder to kind of judge, but typically it's who's going to get the most sacks as a rookie. So we looked at Abdul Carter at a +240 price, Jalen Walker at +550, Mason Graham, the defensive tackle that went to the Cleveland Browns. He sits at a +750. And again, Travis Hunter, which is an interesting one, a 10-1. If he's full-time defense, Joe, of course he's going to get a bump. But the reason why he's only 10-1 is we don't know if he's going to be full-time defense in Jacksonville. We'll see it play out. More NFL talk in hour number two, but now we flip it over to the associate. What happened last night? Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Triple header in the NBA last night and a lot of excitement all the way through. So let's start those breakdowns of what happened last night and certainly turn it over to a look for the rest of the series and also the big games tonight and this weekend. And it started last night. I was excited for this one. Game number one on the docket here, Joe. That was the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. Entertaining first two games in Madison Square Garden, which saw the Pistons with a nice lead in the fourth quarter in game number one absolutely collapse due to a 21-0 run by the New York Knicks. And he said, man, how are the Pistons going to respond? Young team in the playoffs, thought they had a victory. There's no way they can win game number two. They're probably so down in the dumps. Great performance by the Pistons to take number two. Now you look at number three game in Detroit, -1.5-point favorite for the Knicks, which actually opened, Joe, as a slight favorite towards the Detroit Pistons. Final score, 118-116. The Knicks go on the road and take care of business at Little Caesars Arena to take the 2-1 series lead.
Yeah, and you know, right in front of our eyes, Donnie, we're seeing a pretty big rivalry emerge here. These two teams do not like one another in any way, shape, or form. We've had technicals, we've had shoving, we've had pushing, we've had everything. But what we did have, I think, was interesting is Thibs made some adjustments from game two, game one to game two, and now to game three here. Obviously, they won game one with an unbelievable comeback in the fourth quarter. Detroit made a couple adjustments, took game two, and then the Knicks decided, well, it just can't be Jalen Brunson. We live or die with Jalen Brunson. They got Karl Anthony Towns way more involved, 11 of his 31 in the first quarter and 12 of his 30 for Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter. And that is a recipe for success for this Knicks team. It doesn't have a ton of depth, but they have guys that have been there and done this and know how to win. I still think this is going seven. As crazy as it is, yeah. I think they're going to zigzag their way to seven games here, Donnie. These teams are closer, and the thing that most expect, and I think the thing that is separating right now is experience and the adjustments being made. Bickerstaff didn't do a great job of adjustments with the Cavaliers, which is why he's no longer the coach, let's not forget as well, Donnie.
No, it's exactly correct here. And you are right about the New York Knicks, because it was interesting game number one and game number two, which you saw last year. Like, this is Brunson's team in the playoffs, but it isn't equally important. It's like, you don't have to lean on him. It wasn't like Allen Iverson or like the 0-1-6ers. Like, we get no offense anywhere else. Just take the basketball and do whatever you want, which again, worked out in their favor in game number one. They had a nice comeback in the fourth quarter. Still had a big night for Brunson in game number two, but it felt like we weren't getting everybody involved. I wanted to see more of the assists come out of Brunson, which is exactly what you saw. 9 assists and 7 rebounds, doing the little things here. And you're so right about Karl Anthony Towns. He was probably the best player overall on the New York Knicks this year. Didn't get a chance to shine in games one and games two. Goes on the road, 10 of 18 from the floor, 41 minutes, 50% from three-point range, 100% from the free throw line, a +8 and 31 points. That's what I needed. Because Tibbs, as we know here, Joe, not going to use his bench all that much in the playoffs. But if you're going to get 30 out of Brunson, 31 out of Karl Anthony Towns, 22 out of Anunoby, and 20 out of Mikal Bridges, that's exactly what you're looking forward to here. But I love this, and I think you're right. I would be shocked if this series doesn't go seven. You want to talk about three games that were so close all the way through? We're getting them now, and the excitement is there. And I know Detroit, once again, like game one. Man, it was home. We should have got this game. I had +1.5. They lost by two. So game four will be a pivotal one, because you take a look at the New York Knicks. They need this game because they want to go up 3-1. The Pistons need this game because they can't go down 1-3 in the series at this point. So if we look at the odds and the statistics here for moving forward, you take a look at the Knicks. Heavy favorite here. -590 now to win the series. The Pistons at a +430. The spread on the series, the New York Knicks, -1.5 games at -158. And to go to game seven, it is at +172. When you see some of these odds pop up, Joe, what comes to your mind?
Value comes to mind, and Detroit obviously has some value in this. And listen, we know the Knicks were the favorite to win this series, but I would caution, I don't know what Isaiah Stewart's status is, the big man and the enforcer there for Detroit, but if they can get him back at some point over these next couple of games, That's a big, and I mean a big boost for a Detroit Pistons team that's doing their best to hold off the Knicks, but, you know, they don't have the size. They're still getting out-rebounded. They're getting pushed around a little bit here. I think Isaiah Stewart's availability will be huge for Detroit, and if he can get back in Game 4 or even Game 5, I like this going to 7 even more.
Yeah, it really should get there. Like, you take a look from a Detroit side of it. They dropped 16 triples, which was 43%, which should be good enough to win, which means you have the better advantage over the New York Knicks. But the issues were, again, is, look, when you have a team, like Tobias Harris played well in games 1 and 2, didn't play all that well in game number 3, but didn't get a lot of opportunity, only 2 of 9, 1 for 3 from three-point range. But it just feels to me like Tim Hardaway Jr. was great, 7 of 12 from the three-point line. It just comes down to Cade Cunningham. And I know it seems like the easy way out, but if he's going to be inefficient on the court, they're not going to win basketball games. 10 of 25 and 24 points. You turn that into 15 of 25, now you got a victory here, because the razor-thin margins that we're seeing over all three games here shows you that either one of these superstar players, whether it's a Brunson or Karl-Anthony Towns, if they just have their normal good games, they're going to win. So for me, moving forward, I do think we get the long series, but if I'm just looking at game number 4, it seems to me, Joe, like a correlation. If Cade Cunningham is very good and very efficient, they win game number 4 for me.
I agree. And the same thing, right? It's going to come down to making shots in the end when it matters the most. And we know the Knicks have Jalen Brunson. They've got the experience. They've got the go-to guy. Cade Cunningham, if he can get help in quarters 1, 2, and 3, Donnie, then yes, I would. I think it's going to be fascinating watching. And listen, I'd be shocked if these spreads are any more than one possession the rest of the way through as well, because I think it's that close. The final 2 minutes are going to dictate who wins these games and who wins this series.
Absolutely. And also, can Tibbs keep getting away with this, Joe, right? You look at the starting lineup, 39 minutes, 43 minutes, 41 minutes, 39 minutes, 41 minutes. Are they going to run out of gas, the New York Knicks? But this is the Tibbs strategy, I guess.
No, Thibs running his players into the ground. Stop it. Never heard of such a thing. Never. I mean, yeah. No, I can't see that. He's going to rest them. They're all going to play 20 minutes next. Please. At this point on, it's all into the middle, Donnie. Push it all
it
in.
It really is, man. Get him, Thibs. Get him. More NBA talk next as we head out to the Western Conference.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From Detroit, Motor City, all the way out to the West Coast and Los Angeles, and their brand spanking new arena. That's the Los Angeles Clippers taking on the Denver Nuggets last night. Excitement through games number 1 and games number 2, which ended in a 1-1 split in Denver in the Mile High City and at Elevation. Now the Los Angeles Clippers looking to take control of this series with a 117-83 victory over the Denver Nuggets. This was a game I penciled in. Thought the Clippers would win, but I got to be honest, Joe. I was a little leery laying that 5.5 to 6 by the time we got the game time of saying, you know what? Maybe the Nuggets can keep it close exactly like they did in Denver. They weren't close last night. 35-28 first quarter victory for the Clippers. 30-19 second quarter victory. And as a matter of fact, they won every single quarter last night. Clearly the better basketball club. The Clippers sending a message to Denver?
Well, you're right, Donnie. It was funny. We talked about it last night on Game Time Decisions where, you know, you don't think there's a lot separating these two. This was a 50-50 series before it started, right? It was a coin flip. And you're going, wait a minute, why is this thing? We already had an overtime game. Like, how is this thing 5.5? So the market was kind of telling you, the problem here is the Clippers had the best offense over their last 20 regular season games. They went 17-3 down the stretch. And you know what the Nuggets had during that? They had the worst defense heading into the postseason. And that's what we saw last night. We saw a very efficient and a very good LA Clipper offense taking advantage of the worst defense heading into the postseason. And that is what Kawhi and Harden and company did last night. They took This is not a good Denver defense, period. It's been the problem for them all year. It got Malone fired, and it's not going to get any better against Kawhi Leonard and James Harden and company. So to me, you're starting to see that there's, although on paper it doesn't seem there's a lot separating these two teams, Donnie, there's a lot separating these two teams.
No, there certainly is. And you take a look at how close those first two games were in Denver, looking at, you know, overtimes, almost an overtime game. And then you take a look at game number three. It's like, okay, even footing again, but the Clippers on their home court, really decimating Denver. And just take a look at the box score itself. 40% shooting as a team on the road for Denver. 26.9% from three-point range. Then you flip it over. Anytime you see this, one team makes seven triples in an NBA game. The other team makes 18 of them. You're probably not going to be on the right side of that game, which did include 3-for-8 from James Harden, 3-for-8 from my guy Norm Powell. Dunn added 2 3-point shots, as well as Kawhi Leonard at 3-for-6 just in the starting lineup. Nicholas Batum coming off the bench, dropping 4 of his 6 3-point shots. And I had a little parlay yesterday they gave out on the show. It was just keeping it simple, and I probably should have upped it. It was James Harden to make 2 3-point shots and Norm Powell to make 2 3-point shots. It was like a minus 145 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. They both make three, which you could have sent yourself into plus money at that point. But also, take a look at the series overall. It's not done by any margin at this point. It's only 2-1. But having sent that message, it feels like, for the Clippers, the expectations, Joe, for game number four as it sets up, because the series prices are going to change violently after a game like that. You take a look at the Clippers now, a minus 400 price to win this series. The Nuggets getting a plus 315. The spread now shifts over to the Clippers as the favorite at -1.5 at a minus 196 price. And the game's six if it ends there at a plus 156. Tell me what your expectations are for game number four in Los Angeles.
It's going to be close at points in the game, but ultimately, and I'll put it this way, Donnie, the only way I see Denver winning is if the Joker has one of those games where he just takes it over and dominates. The problem is that's the only way I see Denver winning this series and winning this game. On the flip side, the Clippers have shown you now, they did a pretty good job of containing him in the first couple of games. He has not had one of those games. And they look like they can get whatever shot they want when they want it. And so there's more ways for the Clippers to beat you. There's only one way for Denver to beat this Clippers team and win the series. And quite honestly, I just don't see it happening.
It's tough now for me, too, because I sort of have a game plan for this series. To start it, Joe, I was like, I like the Clippers. I think they deserve to be a slight favorite in this one. We're finally getting a healthy Clippers team, which is something we never see in the playoffs, particularly with this Kawhi Leonard version. And they split 1-1. I say, you know what? I think I like the Denver Nuggets at a short price here now as the underdog to win this series. But I said I didn't want to take it in game number three because I thought the Clippers would win. But sometimes you say, okay, maybe it was an 8-point win, I'd feel a little bit different. But now buying back in, the price is so big. But I say to myself, boy, do I want to buy back in on a 117-83 game where the Clippers look like they're probably just going to ice them out and go up 3-1? I have to be a man of my word, Joe Ranieri, and jump back in on the Denver Nuggets as I said I would. And a man of my word, we'll be back for hour number two. It's Joe and Donnie on a Friday right here on The Grid.